let me see it.
I just want to eat it. It is 8:31 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. The NSK and Chikwan is on your radio. Now, something that we've been following and something that we've been talking about that's on Fresh FM is are the Gen Z protests or the so-called Gen Z protests in Kenya as a result of an economic bill, a financial bill that was proposed by the president there. That's William Ruto.
Yeah.
And essentially what had happened was people ended up protesting, especially led by the young folk. And the bill was eventually
rejected.
But it turned out to be a deadly affair because quite a number of people lost their lives in this process.
22, yeah. So sad.
And someone that we know and someone that we love as Namibians was right in the middle of this protest. We've got DJ Cables with us. Bossley, my man, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm fine, MSK. What's up, man?
We are happy that you're fine.
Happy that you're fine.
Why wouldn't I be fine? We're doing something good here.
I mean, you're doing something good, but it was unfortunate that, you know, some people cannot even share their story, so to say, the experience that they had because or throughout the protests, you know. So that's why we're saying we are happy that you're okay.
Yeah, no. It's sad what happened. We are dealing with a lot of government officials who are still hard-headed and still living in the past. And the message that's being given to them is that, look, guys, your old methods are not working. We need to find new methods, and we need to get rid of this way of governance that has no accountability, that is full of corruption, you know, and we want something new because we're just tired of having a falling economy in a country like Kenya where we're supposed to be thriving. We're supposed to be one of, if not the biggest economy in Africa, you know?
Historically,
yeah,
Cables, our parents, your parents,
yes,
would normally not stand up to a government in that nature.
Yeah,
why was this the case? Because analysts are saying governments before, the administrations before this administration now, had intimidating tactics, intimidating tactics that our parents, your parents, just didn't have the stomach to, or didn't have the strength to stomach
to deal with. Yeah.
Talk to us about this.
That's the thing. Those tactics won't work anymore because they've been done. We have become resistant to it. You can't keep beating a child, and expect the child not to be resistant to your beatings one day. At some point, they just revolt and go like, "No, it's enough now." You understand? So those tactics will not work anymore. They were intimidating back then because people were not exposed to those tactics. But we've been overly exposed to them, and we've seen the consequences. It just ends up not doing good for the common man. And the common man is at a point where they're like, look, guys, you can intimidate us all you want, but that change is going to happen whether you like it or not. And the thing with the current generation is they were at that point where it was do or die, you know? So the deaths happened, which was very, very sad and very unfortunate. But the youth had said it, and they proved to the government that it's not about all talk, it's action. So with that taking place, the government realized that those old tactics won't work anymore. So they just have to sit down and resolve the situation.
But here's the thing, Cables, you know, traditionalists, African traditionalists are saying that the generation is disrespectful.
It's not a disrespectful generation. It's a generation that is just tired of seeing what happened to their parents happening to them. And their parents' methods of talking to the government didn't work. Yeah, so we can't be called disrespectful every time when we are the ones suffering. You know, you can't call me disrespectful when I'm giving you my money, and instead of doing what you're supposed to do, you're busy driving a Range Rover. How do you expect me not to be disrespectful? At some point, I'll also snap. So people just snapped, and it's about time the older people also start understanding that it's not just about respect. You also have to give that respect in return, and you also have to earn respect. You know, you can't tell people to respect you when you're constantly stealing from them. That's just unfair.
Yeah. But also, you know that this protests are being considered as, you know, just the Gen Z of Kenya has basically ushered in a new era of activism in Kenya. Do you think that this would be the case if there's ever a situation that the government comes up with another bill pertaining to whatever, I don't know, probably health or, you know, and then it doesn't sit well with the Gen Z, that it will be something that the Gen Z will be able to stand up for, or, you know, would just feel like, you know what, since it actually worked last time, we should still continue with this tactic this time around?
Okay, let me tell you one thing that was going wrong is that they were not being listened to. And there was the constant insulting of Gen Zs and constant insulting of the millennials and saying, yeah, these people do not understand what they're trying to do. We're doing this, we're doing that. But the Gen Zs are a bunch of educated youngsters. They've been exposed to a lot that has been going on around the world. So they compare what's happening in their country, and they're looking at what's happening around the world, and they're asking, why don't we have A, B, C, D, E, F, G? So that accountability is what they're fighting for. So what's happening is that the governments are being woken up and being told, guys, your lack of accountability is the reason why people are protesting. You can't tell the country that we are in debt when you're the ones who caused the debt.
The debt, yeah.
It was not, yeah, the debt was not caused by Gen Z. So
now it's our responsibility to get us out of the debt that you brought us in the first place, yeah.
You understand. And then you have things like the first lady's office and whose office they're spending billions of Kenya shillings to renovate the place, and people are like, no, cut down those costs and use that money to pay the debts. We don't need a first lady's office. She can operate from home.
That's true.
So there are certain things that are unnecessary until the main things are resolved. We can't be going into luxuries when we're in debt, you see, and that's the problem that we're having.
Now, the powers that be are saying, with this financial bill being scrapped, the financial one that was not going to not help relieve this debt from the IMF, they now need to borrow more from the IMF. What do we do now? Because, you know, borrow more into debt in 10 years, 15 years' time, it'll still come back to this generation, isn't it? Okay, boss.
You see, NSK, the problem is not the borrowing. The problem is borrowing for who? You borrow money, but it still keeps going into certain people's pockets, and the work is not done. That is the problem that we're facing.
Okay.
So it's not about borrowing. It's not about paying the bill. No one is against paying taxes. We're just tired of paying taxes where we don't see where the money is going. So you can't keep dishing out money and you're not seeing results. So it's not about borrowing, it's not about where the money is going to come from, it's about what's going to happen when that money arrives. Because if one thing I can tell you about Kenyans is if you look at the young generation here, NSK, they are very supportive. They work together. There's a movement called Sisi Kwa Sisi. It's being headed by a comedian called Eric Omondi. And what he does is he identifies certain people who are suffering, and he calls on to the people. He does not call the government. He does not call officials. He calls the people. He says, let's put money together. Let's send it to this account. Let's help this guy. And they have managed to raise millions of Kenya shillings helping people across the country. So when you see them fighting like this, they're not just fighting, demanding while they're doing nothing. There's action taking place in the country. And with that action requires accountability from the people who are put in power. So you can't have people in power not doing the job while the people in the country are actually working to fix the country.
To fix the country,
so the
yeah.
So the reason why these demands are put forth and the reason why these protests are happening is because the Kenyans themselves are making changes in the country. They are fixing the country themselves. So now they turn around and ask, but wait, why are we fixing the country when the people we've put in power are not doing anything about it? You see, so where is this money going?
Wow.
So you can't be flashing big cars and lovely houses, and then you're telling people we need to tighten our belt. No, yeah. Tighten your belt. Get rid of that $3 million watch. Those are things that Kenyans are pissed off about.
No, absolutely. And I think also even your frustration right now, we understand 100%. I think everyone in Africa would be able to relate. K-Boss, maybe a question to you is, as someone that is also a resident of our beautiful country, and loved by Namibia as well, what do you think are some of the takeaways that Namibians or the Gen Z of Namibia can take away from this protest?
Because, I mean, you know, the Gen Z here are talking about, hey, we're not voting, vote for who?
I think with the Gen Z in Namibia, they just need a little more exposure as to what happens around the rest of the world, because Namibia is a kind of utopia of its own, because the problems of Africa don't seem to reside in Namibia. So Namibians won't really understand what it is to be an African, because your government has its issues, but its governance, I must say, is you guys are doing a good job compared to what other African countries are doing. So what I would advise the Gen Z in Namibia to do is they need to learn, first of all, to work together as a unison. Trying to work in cliques is not going to help anyone. Mm. You need to be one. You need to stand as one. You need to have a united ideology and a united agenda. Because your government officials, or let me say our Namibian government officials, are not as hard-headed. You understand? Mm. They have a point where they open up and listen. But the problem we have in Namibia is that most of the time, as young people, we are very disorganized. So our disorganization is what leads us not to having ourselves heard. But if we can get organized, like I said, the way Kenyans here work, they fix things themselves. If we as Namibians can sit down and say, okay, guys, let's organize ourselves. I don't even think we'll need to go into protest. The elders will sit down and listen. Yeah, so that's the one thing that I noticed that doesn't exist in Namibia, is that unified agenda. It's like everybody has their own agenda, and then we meet in one point and try to put all our agendas together. But it has to be a unified agenda of identifying the problem. Tribalism needs to be thrown out the way. There's no need to say I'm Bambo, I'm Herrera, I'm Damara, I'm what. We're one people, and we have one problem.
K-Boss,
if that problem is
No, please complete your train of thought.
Yes, if that problem is unemployment, it's unemployment experienced by everybody. Mm. So everybody has to come together, get rid of unemployment, get rid of poverty, get rid of all these small things, but do it as a unit.
Be active
on the ground.
Yeah, so basically, sisi kwa sisi, ne? We will carry the spirit.
Yes. Yes, it's important to carry that spirit. If you're not working together, it's very difficult to get other people to even come and work with you.
Before we let you go, real quick, give us three or four names, heroes of this protest, men and women that were really at the forefront of this thing.
For me, I want to give it to one person who started it all, and he's the guy who really pushed it until everybody started coming in and saying, "Yeah, let's make a change in Kenya." And that's the man himself, Eric Omondi. He's the
Eric Omondi.
Eric Omondi. Yes. You should research on him. He's a comedian and an activist, and he's done so much for the country. And I want to applaud him. He lost his brother in during this protest, actually. Yeah, and it was so sad that during the protest, he was supposed to be in the front line, but he had to be at home burying his brother. And we've been standing by him, you know, just wishing him well and hoping that, you know, all can come together so he can come back on the streets with us and help us, you know, make Kenya a great country again.
All right, K-Boss, thank you so much for your time, man. We appreciate it. Thank you for contextualizing this thing for us as Namibians and as fellow Africans.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wish you all the best. When you do get back to the country, please let us know so we can have you in studio as a brief.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys. And A shout out to my Namibians. Thanks for always supporting. You know, To have a second home is not something everyone can say they've got two homes, you know, but I can easily say I've got two homes. I've got a home in Kenya, I've got a home in Namibia, and it's nice to live a Pan-Africanist life, you know. Yeah. So shout out to everyone.
Yeah. Well, this is the home of Pan-Africanism, Namibia's heart and soul. Thank you so much, K-Boss. We wish you all the best. It's 8:46 on Namibia's heart and soul. When we get back, our real estate expert has a story to tell.
Oh,
man. Stick around.